Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back, 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for hanging around with us this morning. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. Jack Hauber is our guest. Jack's with the Sandler Training Institute. Jack's an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, one of our top salesmanship experts. Jack, welcome back.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it.
It's good to have you back on the show, as always. Jack, one of the things that I used to carry my briefcase and my kit bag around in the marketplace years ago as a professional salesperson, and you know, I worked for companies like Sears and Xerox for a number of years a long time ago, and I remember guys that just, it didn't matter whether the economy was good or bad, it didn't matter what was going on in their territory or whatever, they kept bringing the bacon home, they kept bringing the goods in, and you know, and we were all pretty well trained in those days. We were like, those are my organizations that I worked for, kind of like Sandler Institute, you know, they right. We were all well trained folks. But these guys just seem to continue to excel year after year, you know, just on and on. And I believe the key to them succeeding is they always knew what they were going to do before they went into a sales call. They knew what they were doing when they got there, while they were there. And when they left, they knew what happened, and they knew why it happened. And I think that's one of the keys to success, is being able to get yourself into a position where you've got that kind of expertise. What do you think?
Well, one of the things that implies, and I think you're absolutely right, but one of the things that implies is those folks have a system, a repeatable system, a framework to work from so that they know, so every sales call they can know where they stand and learn something if it didn't go right, or at least know where they stand if it did.
That's what the golfers say, isn't it?
Yes.
They train and train and train and take lessons and practice so they can have that golf swing that's just repeatable time after time after time. It's the same thing with a sales call, isn't it?
It is, and I think probably the folks who don't have any system are the ones who are more likely to walk in not knowing what's going to happen and walk out not knowing where they've been.
Mm-hmm.
And in that environment, if the prospect says to you, hey, Jim, why don't you go out and do a proposal, and if we like it, we might do business with you someday.
Mm-hmm.
And in the absence of a system, you end up following what we call a prospect system.
Yeah. Explain that.
Well, we have years and years of, hundreds of years of experience of how to deal with salespeople. And the best, what they have that we want is knowledge. And we recognize that if we ask the right questions, they'll give it to us and smarten us up, and we don't have to give a whole lot in return.
Mm-hmm. We being the customer. Mm-hmm.
Now, if you've got in the absence of a system that a prospect has, or excuse me, that a salesperson has, the result is we have to follow that. They ask us for a proposal, we deliver one. They ask us to cut the price because they got a competitive bid, we do that. And we don't have a system that we can fall back on that says, well, can I ask you a question, Mr. Prospect? Where do I stand, or where are we mm-hmm. going to stand if I do that? Now, you don't say it that way, but
yeah.
The result is the same.
So basically what you're saying is, and I agree with you, basically you're saying that he who has the control usually is the one that's successful. And I don't mean to make it sound like there's some kind of a war between the customer and the salesperson. And I don't mean to say that the salesperson has control in a negative way or in a manipulative way. But the truth is that if a salesperson doesn't have control of the sales call, then the chances of being successful are greatly diminished. Because as you know, Jack, more and more today, I mean, sales calls are different today than they were when you and I broke in years ago, aren't they?
Yeah, they certainly are.
I mean, people are more savvy now. They're focusing on fewer vendors. They're not you know, sitting around waiting on 10 people to come through, you know, and taking. They're trying to find the vendors that they want and sticking with those people instead of spending so much time in vendor interviews.
Yep.
It's just different today. And so if you don't have your cornflakes together when you go in, number one, you look like a rube, and the customer today, they're savvy. They're sophisticated. They're going to basically just sort of discount you if you don't know what you're doing. And they can feel, can't they? They can feel when they've got more control than when you've got more control.
That's absolutely true. You know, let me modify slightly what you said. You may not be able to be in control of the sales call because the prospect has some rights in that call as well. But you can be in control of your half of it.
But see, what I mean, exactly, but what I'm getting at when I say control is the customer can be doing all the talking.
Oh, absolutely.
And think that they're in control, but the truth is you know how to make them do that, how to get them to do that, how to get them to talk to you, how to get them to tell you what's going on
absolutely.
In their business, in their lives. And so when I say control, folks, I'm not talking about a negative or a manipulative thing. I'm talking about we got a buyer, we got a prospective buyer, we got a prospective seller. Both of them want, one wants something and the other wants to sell something. That's pretty much understood. And so now what we've got to do is find out how that can happen. And the only way that can happen is if the customer is telling the salesperson, is telling them what's going on. And if the salesperson is not in control of that information sort of coming out of that customer's head, then you're going to get what the customer wants you to have.
Yes, and that's the rule. The person who is asking the questions and listening is the one in control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's hard for some sales folks to do.
Well, and I'm not going to say it's been easy for me.
No.
Because and it's natural, isn't it, Jack? Because we're so excited about what we got to sell.
Absolutely. I think it's also forget sales. I think it's human nature.
Yeah.
Most people's favorite subject, and I don't mean this negatively, is themselves.
Mm-hmm. I love me. Don't
absolutely.
You love, don't you love you?
And the prospect loves themselves, too. And so if we're doing all the talking, we're not expressing a lot of interest in them.
Right. That's right. And, folks, remember, what we're talking about is these are things that you're thinking about before you go into the call. If you have to, if you aren't thinking before you knock on that door, before you drive up and get out of your vehicle, if you're not thinking, okay, they talk, I listen. I ask questions, they talk, I listen, and I learn. And if you're not thinking that, if you're not getting your mind prepared for that, as you walk into the call, as you knock on the door, as you're waiting to be taken in, if you're not thinking about that, then you're not going to be successful once you get in. So it's all proactive thinking that you've got to have here. We'll come back. We got more to say with our good friend, Jack Harbor, with the Sandler Training Institute, 20 after. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after. Visiting with our good friend, Jack Harbor, with the Sandler Training Institute. Jack, tell us a little bit about Sandler.
Well, Sandler is a franchise. I am a franchise owner in the Washington area, but there are Sandler folks all over the country, wherever your listeners are.
They're everywhere.
They're everywhere. That's correct. So, as I say, they're all over the country, so if the listeners have any interest. And
How can we find out where Sandler rep is?
Well, there is a Sandler website that is Sandler.com.
S-A-N-D-L-E-R.
That's correct. And mm-hmm. in there is one of the buttons you click is a locator. And you mm-hmm. put in your zip code, and it will list those who are nearest to you.
Well, not only that, it'll list the ones that are nearest to you to take advantage of their services, but also if you would like to become a franchisee yourself. But the other thing is, do most of them run the ongoing training programs that you do, Jack?
Yes, that's one of the attributes of one of the reasons I like Sandler, because it is an ongoing process.
If you're a onesie or a twosie and you're thinking, you know, I can't afford to bring up a high-powered sales trainer in and, you know, just to train me or me and my one or two people and all that, you guys have ongoing programs that people just sign up and they plug in and within a year's time they get everything.
Yes.
So that's I'd really encourage, you know, Jack, I've talked about this, I've written about this. Small business owners cannot afford to not get their salespeople sales training. I mean, it's either, to me, it's a matter of success and failure.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
Success or failure, I should say.
And one of the things that when a small business owner gets started, that's fairly well down the list in terms of things they need is sales training.
No question about it.
That's at least from their view. They have an accountant, they have an attorney, mm-hmm. they have a marketing person, they have a logo, and eventually when they realize that isn't enough, they begin to think maybe I have to go out and sell something.
Absolutely. And that's Sandler.com. And by the way, give us your website, Jack.
My website is dc.sandler.com.
Okay, check Jack out there, and you can find out more about him. If you're in the D.C. area, I certainly recommend Jack and find out about where his programs are being conducted. Jack, we're talking about what you guys, to some degree, we're talking about, I think, what you guys call the two-minute drill. If you're thinking about, folks, remember this. Earlier I said, you're thinking about the call before you go in, then you conduct the call, then you're thinking about what happened when you left. But remember, let's put four or five sales calls together and then realize that when you come out of a call, you heard me say this before, every post-call analysis is a pre-call setup for the next one. Isn't it, Jack?
Absolutely right, because most of our businesses aren't one-call closes. It's a process you go through that starts out with rapport and relationship and ends up somewhere down the line with a proposal and a signature.
But in between,
there's a lot of calls and potentially a lot of different people. Mm-hmm. And they better flow. They can't be perceived as independent activities.
And if you don't know what happened, that, you know, one of the things I think if I could position myself, if I were going to have just 1 minute with a salesperson, I think I would position myself as he or she came out of a call, and I would say, "Tell me what happened." And I believe that I could be the most instructive to that person if they would tell me what happened in that call.
I think that's absolutely right. And what's too bad is that for many folks, and these are not the professional, successful sales folks, but for many folks, the answer to that question, what happened, might be different if you ask the prospect.
Oh, yeah. wouldn't that be an interesting study to conduct?
To see what
the prospect
thinks
happened. To have a call, and you'd have to start with the salesperson and you know, have them come out of the call and tell you what happened, and then go back in and say, you know, say to the customer, would you mind if we'd like to interview on about what happened, and we're conducting a survey. That'd be a very interesting thing to study, wouldn't it?
See how similar or dissimilar they were.
It'd probably be like that thing where you tell somebody a story and then they pass it along to 10 people, and you know, when it comes out the other end, it's not anything like how it started.
You know, unfortunately, I think that's probably true.
It's too bad that it would be that way, but it probably would.
Well, we have one of the components of the Sandler system we refer to as an upfront contract, which is just an agreement at the beginning of the meeting with the prospect, why they're there and why we're here and what we'd like to process makes sense for us to follow, and how we will know when the meeting is over whether or not this is a good call for both of us.
Mm-hmm. And so, how do customers respond to that?
Usually very favorably, because most sales folks don't start the conversation off saying, "What are you hoping to get out of this meeting?"
Right.
And
they work it into the conversation.
Right. And again, I think it has to do with the salesperson being inwardly focused. Here's what I want to tell them.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than what do we need to accomplish together in this meeting. Mm-hmm. So we both all walk out with the same story at the end. Here's what happened.
Yeah, it's important that you have that dialogue with the customer, and if you can do it properly, it really works, doesn't it?
Well, I feel very much more like the prospect and I are singing off the same sheet of music.
Mm-hmm.
Then.
And it lets them feel that way. It lets them feel that you're really there to help them accomplish their goals and not just accomplish your goals.
That's right. And if a meeting doesn't end up working for both of us, it was a waste of time for both of us.
Yeah, absolutely. Jack, good job. Thank you for being here.
Well,
I enjoyed
is it over
it, as
already?
Always. Yeah, I'm afraid so. We got to move on. But you're going to be back real soon, and we're going to talk about this some more.
I hope so.
Salesmanship, very important topic. Jack Harbor, ladies and gentlemen, with the Sandler Training Institute. His website is dc.sandler.com, or find one near you, a Jack Harbor type guy at sandler.com. Type in your zip code, and you can find the guy or the lady. 29 after. Going to take a quick break. Right back. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.